healed on those days and not on the Sabbath.
You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?
When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
Let's pray. Lord, we pray as we look into your word that you will illuminate our hearts and our minds as to what you would have to say to us. We thank you for your precious word and what it means to each and every one of us. Amen. Sunday, Jewish Sabbath, equivalent to the Jewish Sabbath. So whenever we read Sabbath in the Bible, we can transpose that to Sunday. Interesting thing is that Jesus, during his 3.5 years of ministry, he did a lot of walking, did a lot of preaching, did a lot of teaching, did a lot of miracles, but he still went to church. He still went to church. I'm one who on this anniversary, I believe that church is a great place to be. Some people say the Lord's house is a great place to be. That can lead to theological discussions. So I'm going to stick to church is a great place to be, because I think it is. Of course, you would expect me to say that. I'm the minister. If nobody comes to church, I might as well not bother coming either. But even when I'm not a minister, i.e. I'm on holiday, I'm still think church is a great place. When Sue and I went away, when I go away now, arrived somewhere on a Saturday, one of the first tasks to do on Saturday late afternoon was to go around the area and find a church to go to on Sunday morning. Sometimes, yes, we went to a church and we went, yeah, I don't think we'll come back here again. But other times, we went to church and we were thoroughly blessed and learnt about God and had a great time. And if Jesus took time to go to church, my question is, shouldn't we, shouldn't I spend time regularly to go to church? Someone once, there was a couple in a church, not this one, another church that I went to, and I overheard this conversation. And a man went up to his company and said, oh, we missed you last week. Did you go away? Did you go somewhere nice? That's a stupid question, really, because you would never go anywhere that wasn't nice. It's a bit like one of those questions in the doctors, you know. You walk into the waiting room, see somebody, say, oh, how are you? Well, I'm perfectly healthy, that's why I'm sat in the doctor's waiting room. No, I'm sick. So, you know, it's this sort of thing, you know. Did you go somewhere nice? And they said, we were on hot, no, we stayed at home. So the person said, so you didn't go away? No, we didn't go away. The person said, why didn't you come to church? Well, we were on holiday, so we didn't come to church either. That seems weird to me. They didn't even have to go to a different church. They could have gone to their same church. Maybe for them, church is a great place to be. Not. It wasn't. I don't know. So many people, though, make up excuses about why they shouldn't be in church. One I love is, I'm not a Christian. I'm a... And then they put a label on themselves. And then you go, well, do you go to whatever their place of worship is? Oh, no, but it means I can't come to church because I'm not a... And you think, hang on a minute, you don't go anywhere. Yeah, I want to come to church, but I can't. I'm not sure about that sentence. We've had the one I was on, I'm on holiday. So, yeah, don't go to church. What about, oh, I'm too tired this morning. I had a party last night, so I'm just too shattered on Sunday morning to come. Would you say that if you had a party on Sunday night and laid there and think, oh, I've got to go to work this morning. I don't think I'll bother. No, that doesn't ring true. What about, oh, I have to catch up on such and such. I think I said at Harvest, Austin, farmer, the last church, were out on their combine harvesters during harvest. One day, the brothers, both Christians, refused to harvest. That was on Sundays. And they said, no, we're not going to harvest on the Sunday, even though there's a danger we might miss something. But they said God was always faithful. They weren't just going to catch up on their harvest on a Sunday. Could be people have said to me, oh, I've arranged to meet someone. Yeah, couldn't you have made it sort of a bit later rather than at 11 o'clock? The lovely one was when our daughters were growing up and they were both in a school play, a musical. And the head of music was a Christian. But he, for some reason, don't ask me why, he had arranged so they started their practices on a Sunday, because you can only have it on a Sunday because many of the others played football on a Saturday. So he had Sunday and it started at 11:30. No, started at 11 o'clock. Completely wrecked anything about church because our church time was 10:15 till, you know, just gone 12. And it finished when? At 6 or 6:30, which was the time for the evening service. So they couldn't get to the evening service either. We did write a letter, and so, and especially when our girls said all we did for about an hour was sit around doing nothing. So we wrote a letter saying, could you not just change the times? Which he did, thankfully. But they were meeting him, but didn't have to. The other one is, I have to do dinner. The dinner. Now, as somebody who's only learning what is involved in doing dinner, yeah, I can, in a way, appreciate it. But equally, I was married to somebody who seemed to be able to throw things in an oven or throw things in a, what's one of those things? Slow cooker. And they came out tasting delicious. And she still never misjudged. So I don't know. Maybe. What, we've got people coming to the house. Well, ask them to come at 1, not at sort of 12. I don't know. Of course, it could always be, I just couldn't be bothered to come this week. Why not? Excuse, oops, there may be other excuses that you've thought of, that you've even had or heard. But Jesus was there in church. This woman was there in church. And when you think about it, it says, this woman in verse 11 says, who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years, she was bent over and could not straighten up. The woman, though, had still made the effort to come to church. Her condition had not deterred her. We're not sure what her condition was. She knows she was crippled and bent over, it says, by a spirit. And then later on in the conversation, Jesus says to her, this woman whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years. So that was from Satan. Maybe, perhaps, Satan was trying to keep her out of church and away from church. But she was saying, no, whatever, I am going to be there. Some people do go through a lot, I know, to come to church. One lady I knew called Veronica. She had a degenerative illness. And every Sunday, her husband would have to carry her out of their house. That caused her a lot of pain, just that process. He would then put her in the car, more pain. They would then drive, and if it joggled, she was in pain. And then the reverse at the other end, she was put into a wheelchair. She then had the time in church when the pain subsided. And then, of course, she went through the same rigmarole to get back home again. But she and her husband were there every week. That they felt that church was a great place to be. Sorry, gone backwards. Church was a great place to be. So Jesus calls this woman forward. Jesus called this. He sort of, you know, I might stand here and go, Julie, come forward. And Julie, don't come forward, Julie. It's just a thing. And, you know, I know that if that happened to me, I'm of the brigade when I would go, inside. I wouldn't say it out loud, you know, because I'm not that sort of person. If somebody actually called me out, but Jesus called her out. And there were people going, oh, that's a bit off, isn't it? You know, why should he do that? Embarrass the person. Well, what made him call her out? Certainly wasn't her clothing or a hairdo or a makeup, anything of that deal. Wasn't to do with her position in church. We're not told that she was a deacon or a member of the prayer group or a minister or the worship group leader or whatever. But Jesus saw this woman bent over, we read, and crippled for 18 years. He had compassion, but he still called her forward. And then he healed her. The woman had to move to the front of that church to be healed, to have her pain and her bodily positions healed. There are times when we need to come forward and make that public declaration to gain the blessings of God. We need to take that step of faith that coming forward will result in good things happening. I've been to meetings where people have gone forward for a call and then felt tremendous after it. And they have that time and date where they can say, I gave my life to the Lord on that day because of what I heard. Sometimes God asks us to come forward, to make our choice public when we would rather keep it quiet. Remember this woman? The story is Jesus was going off to heal a 12-year-old girl. And this woman had had menstrual problems for 12 years. But she said, if I just touch his cloak, I can be healed. And she touches it, she is healed, and then Jesus has the audacity to turn around and go, somebody just touched me. Remember, he's in a big crowd. But he knew that somebody had touched him with faith. And she then, very coyly and shyly, came up and said, it was me. Jesus then commends her for her faith. Sometimes we have to make that public stand. We have to make that public declaration. Not always hide in the shadows, in the background. So Jesus called this woman forward. It may have been even worse because she may have actually been very slow at walking, coming up there. But then Jesus healed. She knew that on that day, that church is a great place to be. So we read the healing was from the word and from touch. Verse 12 says, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you have set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised him. We are tactile creatures. We want to hear, yes, good things, but also touch is important. Touch is important to us. I can remember when I first began teaching, we had a training day, you know, one of those inset days that all parents love. And what happened was we had somebody talking from some social thing, I forgot the name, and what he said was, if we see a pupil upset, remember, I am going back a few years now, We have to go up and we have to put our arm around them and comfort them. There were a few of us cynically who went, "You must be joking." But actually, it really hadn't come in till later, about 10, 20 years later. But then one of my friends said, he related about a week later, we were going home in the car, there was three of us used to travel in the car. He said, "Oh, I had a terrible experience today." I said, "What?" We said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I had," and he named this girl, and she was quite large, this girl, tall and broad. And as he came, he was sitting at his desk, he'd set some work for the class to do. As she came towards him, he could see she was going, she was beginning to faint. So, and she got to the desk and she started to sink. So what he did, he put his arms right over the desk, under her arms, and caught her. The only trouble was, he was then pinned. He could not move because she was too heavy to sort of pick up and throw away, or he didn't want to just drop her. So he said, "Help! Can a couple of people come and drag her off me? Yeah, take her off me." Fortunately, after the class had stopped laughing, two of them did come up and put her on. Years later, we have a similar talk, and the advice given to us then was, don't catch her, let her drop. Because, of course, we're not allowed to touch people because of what it says. Unfortunately, you know, people like her in the news at the moment, they clobber the guilty, but they also don't make life very comfortable for the innocent either. And that's, but we are a tactile creature. God has made us that way. Touch is important. Touch is important. Then we get to this bit of the story that I really don't like. Because what it says is, the senior minister turns to the woman and said, "There are 6 days for you to come to church for healing. Don't come on the Sabbath." And it actually says the ruler of the synagogue, the senior minister, is there. But it's not the woman's fault. Actually, it's the fault of Jesus. He shouldn't have shouted at the woman, he should have shouted at Jesus. Because it was Jesus who did the healing. The woman was the one who was healed. But the woman was there because that day was a day that church is a great place to be. She didn't know Jesus was going to be there. She didn't know he was going to call her out. She didn't know that he was going to heal her. But it says the senior minister was indignant. He was angry. Because for him, healing on a Sunday was work. And work on a Sunday was a big no-no. Now, I can remember the days when Tesco's, they may have opened their first store in 1929, but they never used to open on a Sunday. And Sainsbury's never opened on a Sunday. Most of the shops, virtually all of them, apart from very small corner shops that sold the newspapers, were closed on a Sunday. But what else didn't happen on a Sunday? You don't have to go back too far. How many people here weren't allowed to watch the television on a Sunday when they were growing up? Oh, you were in an enlightened age. We had people around us when I was growing up, Christians, couldn't watch television on a Sunday. Songs of Praise was a bit of a dilemma. Some of them even went to the point of you couldn't even listen to the radio. I never quite understood those who said you could listen to the radio, but you couldn't watch television. But that's what happens with Christians. Everything is a thing of the devil until we get so used to it that it's not. So, one, what about you weren't allowed to play noisy outside games? I had one family that they stopped coming to church picnics on a Sunday because we then played noisy games. Their children just had to be quiet on a Sunday. What were Sundays actually for? They were for reading and for writing letters. That's what they were for. Some families did not have a roast dinner on a Sunday. In fact, they had that on a Saturday. On a Sunday, they had a salad. Why? Because you didn't have to work doing the cooking. You could prepare the salad on the Saturday, so you didn't have to work. You may think, we all think, huh? But that's what people did. That's what they went through. Of course, the other one was you weren't allowed to read any newspapers on a Sunday. The fallacy with that was, the flaw was, you were allowed to read them on Monday and they were produced on the Sunday. Actually, the Sunday newspapers were produced on the Saturday. They were just sold on the Sunday. So it all gets a bit... Sundays was for families to be together, which is a good thing, and to go to church, which I think are two good things. But what did that senior minister in that church think Jesus was going to do? You know, Jesus would not have broken the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. He did, though, come to show up the human extras that had been added to the law. Yes, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Nowhere does it ever say in Scripture, oh, and you can't heal anybody on a Sunday because that's considered work. Doesn't ever say that. Jesus was showing up, he then showed up the absurdity. Because he says in verse 15, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? You show more care for your animals than you've done towards a human being. That's basically what he's saying. You'll feed and water your animal, your donkey, but you won't let somebody help this woman. And that wasn't the first time Jesus had been in conflict when he'd healed on a Sunday. He healed on a Sunday once before, and then he turned to the crowd and said, "If any in this church, if any of you have a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take it out, take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he asked, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. Again, not putting an animal life over a human life. You can lead a donkey out, you can take a sheep out of a pit, but you don't really want to help somebody. Because he was answering the question there in the synagogue, in the church, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That was the question. But sometimes these things you have to think through a bit. A friend of mine had taken out his car engine. And it was stuck up. He'd done that on the Saturday. He'd repaired what he wanted today. And it was on an A-frame over the where the engine space is. Taken the bonnet off and everything like that. And he said to me, he said, "Richard, will you help me put the engine back on Sunday?" And I thought, wasn't recent. I'm thinking, can I do that? Is it scriptural? And then I thought, well, if my sheep was to fall into a hole, I'd take it out. And he needed the car for Monday morning to go to work. There was another incentive. He and his wife invited Sue and I for lunch. So that was, we went for lunch. And we did actually then put in his car engine. And it worked. Because it was needed, it was necessary. And I don't think God looked down and said, "You shouldn't have done that because you were working." Now, if that happened week in, week out, can't go to church because... But actually, he came to church in the morning, we had lunch, and then we fitted it up, put it in the afternoon. Jesus didn't come to destroy Sundays, to get rid of Sundays so we can just work, work, work. Sundays are the day when church is a great place to be. It's a place where we meet with God, with others who are with us. Church, one definition of it, is a voluntary gathering of believers, all wanting to worship God. All those who are seeking to find out who God is and what he does. Next year, our theme for the year is going to be celebrating God. Today, we do that in a way with a church anniversary. The fact that this church has been here for some 88 years. Some 88 years. And you can verify that, as I said earlier, with the stones at the front. Compared to some churches, this church is quite old. Compared to others, it's quite young. The First Baptist Church, the First English Baptist Church, was founded in 1611. It happened to be in Amsterdam, or in Holland, or in Amsterdam, because the Baptists had been pushed out, persecuted in this country. So we've got a few years to catch up on that one. But it's still a great thing that God has kept us. I am a firm believer that church will never, ever die out. I cannot comprehend, I can hear it happening for a while, of a Skype church. You know, where myself or Muta, we're in our houses. You know, you only see the top half of us, so we could be in bed, sitting there. And we're conducting the service to everybody else on Skype. But as I said before, not only are we attacked, God made us to touch, God also made us as gregarious people. We like to be with others. And we can't just sit in our homes and celebrate God. That doesn't work. So we will still always have church. It may change in worship, it may change in decor, it may change in many, many different ways. And one of the things is, when I retire, I'll be excited to see how it's going to change in all of that. But it's still going to be a great place to be.